Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones to Matthew 10. And you can put a marker in Luke chapter 9. And then we're going to be in Matthew 28 and then Genesis 1. I'll have you out of here by dawn. No. No, not Genesis 1. But anyway, Matthew 10. And then Luke chapter 9. And then we're going to be really in that's Matthew 28, Mark 16. See, I don't have that many fingers, right? Wait a minute. We'll pray for you. You should have 10. I should be safe with 10. Okay? All right. Well. Boy, he's got a really. I'm really excited about tonight's message. You guys, this one I'll probably have to teach again. So, I'll tell you this one. This is one of those that about to go on a running fit. It's so good. So we're going to look at when Jesus sent out the 12, and when he sent out the 70. I'm going to look at it in several places here. So let's start in Matthew 10. It says when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Okay, let's back up a little bit. What's going on? Back up into chapter 9 just for a minute and start in verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages now. At this point, it's just him. I mean, he may have the disciples are following, but he's the one doing the teaching. Notice it says teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every, I love it, every sickness and every disease among the people. Say every. Say every means all. Okay. But when he saw the multitudes, you start healing all the sicknesses and all the diseases of the people that are coming. Word is going to spread. I mean, the crowds are going to get big. I remember when Dave used to teach on this, he'd say, if I had a daughter with an incurable disease and I found out somewhere Jesus was able to manifest, and no matter what it was that your child had, if you could get your child there, that child would be healed. He says, get out of my way. There is nothing on earth going to stop me from getting my child there. Amen. So that's what's going on. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. In other words, one shepherd, too many sheep. He couldn't get to them all. I mean, it was getting so big, he couldn't get to them all. So then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now, it's obvious what he's talking about. He's looking at these multitudes, but the laborers are few. In fact, at that moment, one. Just him. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'm telling you right now, that's what this service tonight is about. Let me tell you, the harvest is plenteous. The potential. This service is all about becoming laborers that he can send into the harvest. Okay. Hello, laborers. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm in the right place. So when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Does that sound like all? Everything. Okay. Doesn't matter how bad it is. Doesn't matter how long you've had it. All manner of sickness. And all manner of disease. But notice, all it says, he gave them power. Which I'm pretty sure is authority. But I'm pretty sure that's the word exousia. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out. How did he do it? Did he lay hands on them? Well, we're going to look at a couple of other places. I can't find where he did. Now, I'm not saying he didn't. But the point of what it is yes, okay. He says, don't tell him the point yet. When y'all hear me say yes, sir, there is a dialogue going on. All right, so let's look at the same thing over in Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. Verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and what? To pray for the sick. Oh, heal the sick. And come down to verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and doing what?
Healing
the sick. But now let's meditate. Let's meditate. Jesus calls his 12. The 12 have, up to this point, have been watching him. They've been listening to him. They've been maybe taking notes. I don't know what, in every service, you know, and probably attending on whatever needs he might have. But they themselves have not been casting out devils. They themselves, at, to this point, is like, wow, look at this guy. Wow. When he speaks, it's done. Man, he has authority over all devils. He has authority over all diseases. Look at this guy. Wow. And then he called you. We're going to he's going to call you in. And he says, you see how many more people there are out there than I can get to. Yes, sir. He says, good. Don't you think they should be healed? Yes, sir. He says, can you tell it's more than I can get to? Yes, sir. He says, good. Because now I'm sending you to do the exact same thing I'm doing. You're going to go in my name. You're going to cast out devils. And you're going to heal the sick. What do you have as proof? His word. I think that's why, I don't know whether he laid hands on them and commissioned them. I don't know. I think it's conspicuously absent. I think it's purposely left out. Because put yourself in the prayer line. Here's Jesus. Okay, I'm going to be one of the 12. He's talking to me. And he's telling Gary. Gary, who's full of faults. Gary, you know, Peter was there right then. I do know Peter's a man with faults. Right? Let's not just focus on Peter. It's all the 12 there. All right? And Jesus says, have you been having a good time watching me do this? Oh, Lord, this is amazing. When you speak, devils bow. Devils have to obey you. When you speak to cancer, it goes. It's amazing, Jesus. He said, good, because you're going to do the same thing I'm doing. And you're going to do it now. And you're going, what? What proof do I have? It sounded like Mary when that angel came. How shall I know that this will be? Basically, that angel says, because God said so. Well, be it unto me according to his word. I want you to get the idea. These disciples, after Jesus, he says, I give you authority over all devils. I give you authority over every sickness. I give you authority over every disease. I'm sending you, go and preach the kingdom and cast out devils and heal the sick. And do it now. And they're walking away. One of them says he sent them out two by two. So you're going, did you hear what he said? I heard what he said. He wasn't talking to me, was he? He was talking to both of us, I'm pretty sure. In fact, he was talking to all 12 of us. You reckon he meant what he said? You got to understand, all they have is his word. They have his word. And here they're going into these towns where nobody has done it before. This is a pioneering operation. Nobody has done this before. And they're coming into whatever town they come to. We have a message for the town. What's the message? Bring the sick and Jesus will heal them. Where is he? We're his representatives. And he has given us his word that when we pray for the sick will be healed. Bring the sick. The kingdom of God has come to you. We have authority in his name. That's pretty bold stuff. And then they start bringing them. Every kind, don't you know they hope it's a headache? That the first one they bring is not the epileptic boy foaming and wallowing on the ground. And don't you hope that's not the first one? Can't you bring me a headache first? How about a sniffle, a cold? But it says they went everywhere and healed the sick. Now, these are the hand-picked 12. But he expands it more. The crowds apparently kept getting bigger and bigger. Because go over to chapter 10 of Luke. Now he does the same thing with the 70. And I was looking to see specifically if there was any information given to us like he laid his hands upon them, he breathed something into them, Gabriel sounded the trumpet, they each felt the brush of an angel wing across their cheek. And there's nothing like that. What they have is his word. So let's look at it in chapter 10. So after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, these are 70. Therefore, he said unto them, and he says a whole bunch of things. But come on down to verse 9, because we've got something specific tonight. Verse 8, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. But here it is, verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now these are 70 no names. We don't even know the names of these people. Far as I can tell, I mean maybe some scholars dug it out somewhere. But as far as I can tell, nowhere in the Bible do we even have the names of these people. Yet, and I think that's on purpose. Because, hello, no names. What he's trying to demonstrate to us is what is coming when he says, it is better for you that I go away. See, when he left, he didn't intend that his ministry come to an end. He intended that his ministry be magnified through millions of believers worldwide. You talk about the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So now you don't have just the 12. You know, I'm sure everybody knew who the 12 were. They were kind of the inner circle. They would sit around the campfire at night and Jesus would explain the teachings and things. And not everybody was privy to that inner circle. He says, to those that are outside, I speak to parables, but unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, that type of thing. So the 70 are not the 12. So I'm trying to think of what the 70 thought when they first saw the 12 go out and said, well, boy, that's really good. But I can understand that because they're kind of the inner core. They're the inner group, the inner circle. They're the privileged few, the 12. Yeah, I can see where he might put his mantle on them, give them authority. And you're maybe talking like that. And then he says, oh, by the way, I want you to come next. And you're one of the no-name 70s. And he says the same thing to you that he says to them. I give you authority over all sickness and all disease and over... In fact, I'm just quoting it. Come on down to verse 19 of the same chapter. This is to the 70 and the 12. This is to all of them when they come back. Behold, I give unto you power, that's authority. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. It's a type of the devil. And over all the power of the enemy. That word there is dunamis. I don't care what dynamite the devil has. I give you authority over his dynamite. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Don't run from the devil. He should be running from you. You get this? But he sends the point of this lesson tonight, he sent them out. There was not a special impartation. There was no blowing of Gabriel's trumpet. There was no oil on them. There was no, as far as I can tell, he may have, but we're not even told he laid his hands on them. He might not have. But I do know what they did have. They had his word. So now we got 70. Get the picture again. It's good for you. I thought here's two, send them out two by two, right? So here's two of the 70, two of the no names. Did you hear what he just said? And they're walking, they're leaving. They're getting ready to go on their mission. Did you hear what he said? I thought this was just for the 12. I thought this was only for the apostles. I thought this was just for the inner circle. Did he tell you what he told me? Yeah. What did he tell you? Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. He said the same thing to me. And he expects us to go lay hands on people and they'll be healed. That's what he said. Well, let's go. And you can read, feel the surprise. When they return, go to verse 17. Verse 7, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, can you read the surprise? It's almost like, Lord, you probably don't know this, but Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. You know, I did that study on subject one time. Remember I brought it here? It's exactly what you think it means. It's like that devil has to bow his knee in front of you as an abject slave. And he has to do whatever you say. And how did they have that authority? By his word. I got it. Go to Matthew 28. I said Mark 16. We'll get to it in a minute. So now let's take. These are some of the very last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. At least the 12 are here. Let's see. Yeah, verse 16. These are the 11. Okay. Judas isn't there anymore. Okay, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. We know what happened there. In another place, it tells us how Jesus appeared to Thomas and got him where he didn't doubt anymore. Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Now this means, they know right there he's expanding this to the Gentiles. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now get this part. Teaching them to observe, and that means do, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, when it says teaching them, I'm going to do it like this. Look at me. You are my hand-trained 12. I trained you in the gospel. I did it. I taught you. You watched me do it. Then I sent you to do it. You have done it. You are my hand-trained 12. I'm wanting you to go into all the world, and I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. Would that include healing the sick? And how we know, yes is the right answer, and how we know for sure now is Mark 16. Back up to Mark 16. It's the other way. Matthew, Mark. Okay. Hallelujah. Now here it is again, 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Let's say every person. Preach it everywhere. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But now these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils and speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is Jesus commissioning the world. All the believers in all the world. And look at me. You're my hand-picked 12. You're the ones I trained. I hand-trained you. You watched me do it. Then I sent you to do it. You have done it. You've done it over and over. When you failed, I told you the answer for that failure. More prayer and fasting to drive out unbelief. You guys, you know how to do this. I've trained you how to do this. Now, I want you, just like you are my disciples, and I trained you. Now, you're as your master in this. You know how to do it. Now, I want you to go everywhere, and I want you to make disciples the same way I made disciples of you. I want you to teach them what I taught you so they can do the same things you're doing. Didn't get any amens near enough? I preached a lot better than that. Come on. Now, listen, the point he's trying to make is, if you're waiting for a special revelation, you're waiting to be commissioned for this, you already have been. You have His Word. You have exactly the same thing they had. There's no point waiting for the brush of an angel wing or Gabriel's trumpet. Be about your Father's business. Well, what if I pray for them and they don't get healed? He said prayer and fasting is the cure for unbelief. But don't quit. Now I want you to understand this. He's teach them. Isn't it in your Bible? A while ago we looked at Matthew 28. I want you to teach them to do everything I taught you. Well, part of what he taught them was cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And do it today. I'm sending you today. And I think we've all been waiting to be commissioned. When the truth of the matter is, we've already been commissioned. We've already been commissioned. And we have the exact same thing that they had. His Word. His Word. Otherwise, Mark 16 makes no sense. If they believe, I'm going to keep saying it different ways, hoping it'll impact our brains and the brains of all that are listening. I trained you. I myself. You watched me do it first. Then I called you and I gave you the ability to do this. I authorized you to go and do it. I trained you to do the same thing that you saw me doing. Then I sent you out. Then I sent 70 after that and I sent them out. But now you 12 especially, I'm sending you into all the world, even to the Gentiles. I wonder what that sounded like to the Jewish mind. All the nations. I'm sending you to all the world, and I want you, in the same way I took you and made you my disciple, I want you to take them and make them my disciple. I want you to teach them everything I taught you. And would that not include healing the sick? Obviously it does, or Mark 16 here makes no sense. How else would the people believe that they could cast out devils? How else would those people believe these signs shall follow them, the them, how else are thems going to believe unless the word to them is, you have authority to cast out devils. He trained us, we're training you. Here's the gospel. In his name, he's given you authority to cast out devils. Otherwise, how would them have faith for that? That's what they were trained in. Boy, that's not what the modern church has been trained in. And the other part, he said, we have been authorized to tell you, to make disciples out of you. In his name, you have authority over all sickness and over all diseases. And when you lay hands on the sick, in his name, they will recover. Go to John 14. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, we've been waiting around for a special revelation when the truth of it is we already have His Word, and He is going to always work with His Word. We should have looked at that before we left. Okay, when you find John 14, go back to Mark 16. Hold the two together. You can tell I'm doing this one on the fly, right? I have no notes. Okay? But look at Mark 16 again. And we'll come down to verse 19 this time. So what happened then? And now he's gone. Now he's not, you know, and when he first sent him out, he was at least on the planet.
Right.
He sent him to these cities where he was going to go, but he didn't go with them. But they found out, see, that it worked whether he was physically with them or not. Because the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. The Holy Ghost is really the molecule changer. Jesus himself didn't do any miracles till he himself was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, so it's the Holy Ghost that is manifesting this word. He always manifests the word. That's what he does. Okay? So they found out when they left those meetings, the first 12, and they're going out two by two. And isn't Jesus going with us? No, Jesus is going over there, but he sent us over here. He's not going to go with us? Well, not in bodily form. But he told us that when we prayed, the power would flow. So we're going to go, not just pray. He told us that when we preach, actually, when we preach the kingdom, the power will flow. See, the Lord confirms his word. That's what I'm getting at here. So verse 19, Mark 16, 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. But see, they'd already been before without his physical presence. Now he's not even on the planet. But they had seen this work before without his physical presence being there. Because they went to all these different towns two by two. Jesus physically did not go with them, yet the power was the same. That's what we got to know. So when he left the planet, in their minds, I don't think that affected them that much. I mean, they started to see him go, but he's already been teaching them about this other comforter. See? And they went forth and preached everywhere. What are they preaching? The kingdom of God is at hand. They're preaching the word. The Lord working with, this is this morning's message. The Lord working with them. Now you need to mark, I've got a line. See, that's italicized, them. He does work with you, but really, he's working with the word that you're speaking. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. He confirms the word of the kingdom. He confirms the word of God. He did it for the 12. He did it for the 70. And he'll do it in our generation too. And the thing of it is, we've been like waiting around for a special commission. We've already got the commission. And now go over to John 14, because here it is. This is right before he left the planet too, and he's having this discussion with them. And he says in verse 12, this is our foundational verse right here for revival. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, what did we just read? He sent them out to preach the gospel. And those that believe, he said, these signs will follow him. So here he's going, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now, we keep losing Mark 16. Go back to Mark 16. Hold these two together. Pinch them together. Now, Mark 16 says it this way, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, the Lord physically is seated at the right hand of God. But how did the Lord always do the miracles? It was by the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Ghost. But yet it's Him. It's Christ in us, the Anointed One in us. And when you go forth, it says the Lord, if you speak the word, the Lord will confirm that word. He's not inactive in this. Jesus healed then, and Jesus heals now. He healed then by the power of the Holy Ghost. He heals now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's Christ in you, the Anointed One now, is in you. Y'all getting this? So he says, those that believe, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. In John 14, he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater, and actually works there should be a line drawn through it too. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, the greater work, we already know what that is. Jesus himself never led anybody to be born again. It couldn't happen till he was glorified. But we have a greater work that we can do. But he never said to abandon the first works. Now, I'm telling you, this is having an effect on me. I think he's put us in the same boat with the 12. When they walked away from that commissioning, he says, I'm sending you out. I'm giving you power and authority in my name over all sickness and all disease. And I'm trying to meditate. Walking away from that meeting, no goosebumps, no brush of angel's wing. Didn't feel any different when you left the meeting than when you come into the meeting. Yet your whole life has changed. And it all hinges on one thing. Do you believe his word? There's no waiting. What if they'd have gone off and fasted and prayed till the anointing showed up? It's never going to show up because it was already available in his word. They already had his word. We already have his word. I know. Yeah, I am looking over in this. And then, we're an equal opportunity preacher, right? Preach over on this side for a while. And then, so the book of Acts is still being written. You know, officially in the Bible, in the King James, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But really, that was put on there by man. It's really the Acts of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I say that, it gives miracles that were done by people that were not apostles. Stephen was not an apostle. Philip is an evangelist. He's not an apostle. It's the works of the Holy Ghost. And those works have supposed to have been continued all these millennia, all this hundreds of years, right down into this very hour. Well, the fact that they haven't doesn't change the fact that they're going to. We have a Muslim world that needs to see Jesus. We have a Hindu world that needs to see their true, see the tangible risen Christ continue doing what he's always done. The problem is, see, the enemy, again, boy, you know, Jesus knew what he was talking about. Mark 4, I'm telling you, you know, which is one that we all know by heart, and nearly all of you could preach good messages on it yourself. I've still got to look this way. Mark 4, he told us that a persecution and affliction and even the daily affairs of life, all of those things are designed for one thing. To choke that word in you. See, the dark ages came where the word of God was like hidden away from everybody. Nobody even had access to the word of God for all that time. And generations passed. What's the enemy trying to do? Steal the word away from human beings. Steal the word away. And then finally we had these pioneers from the old days that I can't think of their names right now, but you can in the history books where they begin printing Bibles and translating Bibles and start getting the word back into the hands of people that can read it again and believe it again. Then thank God for Azusa Street. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're coming into the last. Do y'all know we've been in the last days since the day that the Acts chapter 2 and the Holy Spirit was poured out? Because Peter stood up and he said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel in the latter days. We've been in the last days all this time. But now we're coming into the last of the last days. We genuinely are. But I'm telling you, there is a harvest coming. He is raising up a people. To me, this is so blatantly obvious to me today, and it wasn't yesterday. Right. What I'm saying is he's breaking these things. It's like all of a sudden roof questions are being answered almost faster than I can keep up with them. And it's like, well, duh. Of course we're supposed to do that. Of course we've already been commissioned. Of course the thing required is to believe what he said. Which is the same thing they had to do when he sent the 12 out. Believe what he said. They're leaving and they have nothing more than what you have. His word. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. In other words, I will work and confirm the word with you. You remember that day here not too long ago, I saw him walk through the wall right over between those two speakers. I just saw him. I don't know what he looks like, but you ever have a vision of Jesus? He walked, getting a white hanky. That means preach it, white boy, preach it. I don't know why. Right in between, about midway between those two speakers, I saw him walk right over here. And it's like he took my Bible and he held it up. And he just looked to the left and he looked to the right. And there's such a look. I can't describe his face to you, but I can describe the look. It was yearning. It was so deep. And he just held this up. And he said, I want to be believed. Those that believe. That's all he said in the vision. I want to be believed. And here tonight, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, in my name, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Now what if we were standing, what if physically he was here? What if you could see him? He drew you here. He sent you an invitation. Be here on such and such a night. And this is the night. And he himself stood here in the flesh, his glorified flesh. And he said to you the exact same words he said to the 12 and to the 70. I am commissioning you to preach the gospel. My commission is for you to go forward and tell everyone you meet that the kingdom of God has come unto them. And I'm telling you, whatever you ask in my name, I want you to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. And I'm telling you straight, whatever you ask, I'm not physically going with you, but I'm telling you, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And he says it to you twice. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The 12 had to believe that. When they went on their journey, they had to believe what he said to them. He gave us authority over all sickness. When we pray, it's going to happen, John. Yeah, it is? Yeah. Yeah. When we pray, it's going to happen. Because he said it would. He said it would. He said he would do it. If we ask in his name, he said he would do it, and he can't lie. You ever done that before? No, I've never done that before. But we're going to go do it. Why are we going to go do it? Because he said for us to. He said, if you believe me, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, the word tonight to us, we need to stop waiting for a special revelation. Because we already have his word. This is as plain as Jane C. the ball. I'm going to do it one more time. We got 5 minutes. When he had the 12, he says, they watched him. They watched him first. They saw him do it. Have you watched him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I've watched him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then the day came, he says, all right, you've seen me do this. Now I'm appointing you to go do this. I'm giving you authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick. And I want you to do it today. I'm sending you out to do this, warts and all. I added the warts and all. Peter wasn't perfect, neither are you. We've got to get over ourselves. Okay? Then later, went right before he ascends into heaven, he says, all right, the same way that I took you and I made disciples out of you. I'm going to preach to this side for a while. The same way I took you and I made disciples out of you. Okay, I'm going to preach to the camera. The same way I took you and I made disciples out of you. Now I'm sending you to the world. And I want you to make disciples out of them. The same way I made disciples out of you. And whatever they ask in my name, I will do it. And when they left, they had no feelings different, no, they didn't glow in the dark. What did they have? What did they have? They had His Word. That's what we have. And He, it says, He will work with and confirm His Word with signs following. I'm excited about this. I'm excited. We've already been commissioned. You've got it from Him. Hallelujah. All right. Don't think I can say it any better. Isn't that good? Man, I'm excited about this. Good stuff. All right.